Jesus Christ.
We have been meditating on Pauline prayers from prison, from Ephesians first chapter. And last week, brother was sharing about asking for the spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we will be meditating on the rest of the points that especially Paul highlighted. Before starting our devotion, may we read from 15 to 22 from Ephesians first chapter. I'll be reading Ephesians first chapter 15th onwards. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. 18th verse, it says like this: the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. 19th verse: and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all the things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. 23rd, last verse, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We'll have a word of prayer and then start devoting all these verses, especially from 17 to 23. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving this blessed time, Lord, to come to you and meditate your word, Father. Yes, Lord, your word, Lord, it is lamp to our feet, and it's Lord, it's Lord, light to our paths, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the word of God, Lord. Help us to, Lord, know more and more about you, Father. Also help us to dedicate more and more to you alone, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you for blessing us abundantly, and Lord, you made us to sit in the heavenly places, Father. Help us to understand our position in the Christ and also in you, Father. Thank you for everything that, thank you for all the blessings, Father. Lord, speak to our hearts and help us to understand and keep all these deeper truths in our hearts and live a life that is pleasing to you alone, Father. I ask all these things in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was in 2003, I was in Bangalore. There was a news published in the newspaper saying that a beggar in Hyderabad, he died on the footpath. Hyderabad is, it's a city, it's one of the major cities in South India. So there, right, nobody, since he was a beggar, nobody has come to collect his body because he was a beggar. And then there was one more channel, that is a Christian channel called Christian Broadcasting Network, CBN. They have one wing called Operations Blessings. That team, they helped to remove that, to collect that body. When they were collecting that body and moving that body to the van, they found under the sackcloth where the dead body was laid down, under the sackcloth, there was almost close to 70,000 rupees. It's nothing but close to $1,000. It's very less amount now, but in 2003, it's quite big amount, 70,000. Though he was a beggar, he used to daily beg for 50 paisa, nothing but pennies here, just 50 paisa, 25 paisa and all. And then they wondered, how come this beggar having that much money? That beggar is nothing but myself only. I was not knowing, that is my spiritual state. I was not knowing how much I was blessed. Without knowing the spiritual riches, still asking for the little things to the God and waiting for the returns from the God. But after reading the first Ephesians first chapter and second and third chapters, really I was very blessed to know, you know, how much he richly blessed me. And my prayer this evening to know and understanding how God blessed us abundantly and how we have to pray like Paul, because Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In NIV version, it says, follow my example as I follow Christ. Let's like how Paul, he literally imitated Christ. Maybe we also imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. To highlight about this Ephesians, I was just reading, having a glance on all the six chapters. You're just having very small book, small epistle, just 155 verses only. Some of the Bible preachers, teachers, they highlighted this book. One of the Bible teacher, J.A. Robinson, he says Ephesians, it's like crown of St. Paul's apostles. Another Bible preacher called A.T. Pearson, he says it's a pearl. Paul's third heaven epistle. When we read this Paul's epistles, or especially the Ephesians, it really takes us to third heaven. Really makes us to very high level. It takes to the spiritual levels and gives us the clear understanding. And one more preacher, William Barclay, he says it's a queen of the epistles among the Paul's epistles. Ephesians. John Calvin, we all know about him. It's his favorite letter. And also mainly talks about Ephesians, the book Ephesians Apostle. It talks about our heavenly life on earth, planet earth, while we are here. When we are in him, in Christ, there is a large difference in him and without him, and how to live a heavenly life in Christ. And also it leads many of the believers from the stage of poverty to the spiritual prosperity. As I mentioned about the beggar light, that was the poverty state, but after reading and after understanding through the Holy Spirit, God's help, we definitely can understand how much spiritually we are blessed. Few facts about Ephesus city, why Paul was writing this letter to Ephesus. I was just mind blowing some of the facts about this church and especially the city. It looks like this city was built in 500 BC by a person called Croesus. He only built a temple. The temple name is Artemis and Diana. She's nothing but a goddess of fertility. In India, a lot of goddesses are there for the fertility. Parvati, Sri Lakshmi and all. Like similar to that, but this Artemis, she is a goddess of fertility. Especially we can see that verse in Acts 19:14. I'll just read it out for you. About the time, Acts 19:14. About the time, serious trouble developed in Ephesus concerning the way. It began with Demetrius, a silversmith who had a large business manufacturing silver shrines of the Greek goddess Artemis. He kept many craftsmen busy. He called them together along with others employed in similar trades and addressed them as follows. Gentlemen, you know that our wealth comes from the business, but as you have seen and heard, this man Paul has persuaded many people that handmade gods aren't really gods at all. And he's done that. This is not only here in Ephesus, but throughout the entire province. Of course, I'm not just talking about the loss of public respect of our business. I'm also concerned that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will lose its influence, and that Artemis, this magnificent goddess worshipped throughout the province of Asia and all around the world, will be robbed of her great privilege. This is the state of goddess Artemis. She is goddess of fertility, and also there was a super business going on with all these business people there. It's not only business center, it's a political center. And you know, the temple, it's a very magnificent, looks like it is a 425 feet length and 220 feet of width. It's a widespread at 9,500 feet. Obviously, it looks like very magnificent, and there is a lot of business going on there. Paul went, as per Acts 19 to 20 chapters, he went there and given the gospel, and he turned most of the idol worshippers into Christians. And it's not only the Christian, looks like it's a city and many churches here. So just to encouraging, Paul is writing this letter to Ephesian church especially. And looks like many churches, other churches in and around, they read this one. And not only this one, I'll just go back to some more facts about this. Alexander Great also, he tried to make that Ephesus city as the capital, but he was in dilemma whether to make Greek Athens as capital or Ephesus. As the province capital, but ultimately he chosen the capital is Athens only, but still, right, commercial center is Ephesus only. It's like a business capital for his province. And then in 900 BC Antiochus, he made Ephesus capital. Paul lived there 53 to 56 AD, and then Acts 19 and 26 comes into picture, and the conversion of all the Ephesian people there into Christianity, there it comes from 53 to 56 AD. And then we all know there he established Tyrannus, that the place, the first Bible college in the Bible. There he trained a lot of disciples, and those disciples, they spread across and they went to different parts of the world, and then they spread the Christianity. That is the origin from the Ephesus church it came out. And then we all know how Timothy was there, and then the John the Apostle in the law, during his last days he was there. Even Mother Mary also lived in Ephesus. All these facts we know just want to highlight how important, how significant this Ephesus city, or Ephesus, the city name called, how important is in the Bible. Overall, Ephesus is a commercial and business center, and it's idol worshiper place. There, many Christians, they were there and to encourage, and since their spiritual state is very high, not like Galatians or Corinthians. Paul, he writes Galatians saying that, you foolish Galatians, or in the Corinthians, right, I do not want to like write like people who eat meat, just you are people consuming milk, that's why I'm writing in a very low level. But whereas for the Ephesian church, since their spiritual state is very high, he's writing where very, very deeper truths that we can read one by one, how what he is mentioning here, from especially from the 17 and 19. Paul knew Ephesus and the church in the city very well, because he ministered there in AD 53 to 56. And also he sent this epistle by you through his companion, Tychicus, his name, evidently as per Ephesians 6, 21 and 22. Overall, one more Bible preacher, his name, Norman B. Harrison, he considered Ephesians, Philippians and Colossians, right? They are written to the spiritual people. And 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians and Galatians, they are written to the carnal man, and Romans, there it is written to natural man. That's his considerations. And then the main goal the Ephesians might gain here, the greater knowledge, knowing about the God. The Greek word translated knowledge is epignosis, refers to, epignosis means is exact and complete experiential knowledge of God. It's not just simply not about the knowing in the mind, but knowing from the heart. That is experiential and personal, intimate relation with the God. So Paul, he wanted Ephesians to get know God more intimately as their own personal heavenly Father, and to become closer friends. Like as mentioned in John 15, 14, you are my friends if you do what I command, then you will become my friends. That is the way friends, right, they come to know and do whatever the master is asking them to do. Growth in the knowledge is indispensable in growth in holiness. Growth in the knowledge also important. Okay, that only in the Christ, right, if you do that one, it will be leading to holiness. Also, Christian life could be described as getting to know God better every day. One more quotation that says, a friendship which does not grow closer with the years tend to vanish with the years. Same thing it is with us and also with the God. So that's why continuation with the friendship is very, very important. And then to go into the main points, to know God personally is salvation. John 17:3 says, it is the eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ from you have sent. When we know Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, that is the eternal life and that is the salvation. But to know him increasingly is sanctifications. Philippians 3:10, we are going to spend much time there about Paul, how he was telling, I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Because the deeper level of knowing him, that leads to sanctification. And one more thing is, to know him perfectly is glorification. 1 Corinthians 13, 19 to 12. I just got this from NLT. It says, now our knowledge is partial and incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely. just as God knows me completely. The perfect glorification, when it comes, when our Lord comes into the cloud, when we see him face to face, then we will have the full glorification. That is stepwise, I'm just mentioning. First step is knowing personally and knowing him deeperly, intimately, and then knowing him perfectly. And just to go to the next point, first 18th verse of Ephesians 1:18, Paul, he wanted Ephesian church saints to know factually, that is nothing but the Greek word, knowing means idinoi, they mentioned, about especially the three things he mentioned. He wanted them to know the hope that was there, because God had called them to salvation. First chapter from 3 to 14, he clearly mentioned how God, Father, has chosen us, and how he predestined, how he accepted us, and how he redeemed us, how he forgiven us, all the spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places we can see in Ephesians 1:3. So when God called us, right, from the darkness into the light, also God expressed that we should have the hope of that calling, that we will definitely, every Christian should appreciate that sure hope for the future that rests on their calling to the salvation. And the second point here is knowing the riches of the glory. Ephesians needed to realize that themselves would be an inheritance. It's not about the God's inheritance that I was, while coming, right, I was listening to one Telugu song, that is my native language. How much blessed we know all the saints in Christ, right? He came, though he was very rich, but he came like a poor man, and he given his riches to us. But when we believe in him, then only those riches belongs to us. That is a God's inheritance. Tomorrow we are going to rule with him. He made us kings and royal priesthood. That is the blessed privilege that God given to us. That much he blessed us. We should know about that when we know, right? Like it's like nailing the nail, putting the nail on the wall. The moment when you are hitting with a hammer, right, it goes inside. When you know God and when you know him, right, deeper and deeper, you will cling to him, and you will do whatever God says to us to do, right? That's what Paul is not talking about the God's inheritance, but the inheritance in us, in the saints. The inheritance here is God coming down and spending his 33 and a half years time here and redeeming with his precious blood. It's not the ordinary thing, it's a very serious thing. It costed him to send his son, but for us it's free. Salvation is free. But for him, right, we know how much he endured all the sufferings. Every Sunday, right, we meditate all the sufferings and how God redeemed us. So that God is seeing the inheritances. For each believer in Christ is very, very important to God. That is his inheritance. We are all one body of Christ. The expectation here is when Jesus Christ was there 2000 years back, when he walked on the planet Earth, he reflected all the attributes. He shown the compassion, all the Galatians 5:22, you can see the 9 delicious fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, gentleness, and then the self-control. All these 9 he shown. That is all the attributes of God, all the shareable attributes of God. We can see how our Lord Jesus, he manifested and he demonstrated 2000 years back. The expectation is we are his body. Church is nothing but the body of Christ. He's not here now. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. The expectation is the body of Christ, like how the physical body of Christ shown all those attributes, we supposed to show, because we are the body of Christ, and we are here right now towards the unsaved people, right? We supposed to show those attributes and reflect him. That is the way we can glorify the God. So that's why every saint, every believer in Christ is inheritance. That is his inheritance. To understand the riches of his glory, of the God's riches, God's inheritance is us, rather. If you can understand, definitely you respect other believer, other brother or sister. You give value to them, because they are also going to be with us in eternity. Forever and ever they are going to be with us. We respect them, we love them. That's why Brother Arturo, when he was sharing the devotion, right, the other Sunday, 2 weeks back, love one another. There was a clause: love one another as Christ loved. That's it, period. Then there we give the hands up, okay. Because it's very difficult, as Christ loved, because he did not expect anything. Without returning anything, he loved us. So that's the way we supposed to love our each brother and sister. May God help us to do that kind of sharing that love and without expect anything, loving and sharing. And then come to the main point, how God is treating us as his inheritance. If we know that, then we will definitely glorify our God. And then the main point, one more prayer point, Paul highlighted here is resurrection power. I just want to read that from Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ. He raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all the things to the church. Here we can see Paul is praying for the Ephesian church to have the enlightening for their heart, to open their heart's eyes, to understand what is the incredible greatness of his power, the resurrecting power. Last Sunday, we were meditating on the resurrection, right? Resurrecting power. The resurrecting power, it's more greater than the power of creation, what we read in Genesis 1. That is a creation power where Elohim, the creation God, created everything, the creation from nothing. This resurrection power is more greater than that creation. But how it is more greater means we are dead spiritually. We are separated. When we are dead in our trespasses, God, what he did is he made us alive, and he made us to sit in heavenly places along with him. That is he made us new creation. That's why the same resurrecting power. To understand this one, I have a good illustration from what our Lord Jesus mentioned from John 12:24 about the wheat of grain. When the wheat of grain, when we bury in the ground, and then we can see the unleashing power, how it sprouts out. One wheat grain, it gives multiple wheat grains after some time. So that's why death, burial, resurrection is very, very important. It's a very good illustration what Lord Jesus Christ given to the Greek people when they asked about, when they want to see our Lord Jesus, when he was predicting his death. So the wheat grain, whatever the grain it was buried, that is nothing but you can take it as our Lord Jesus Christ. How it multiplied, and each believer, right, they are like Christ. The expectation is every believer and brother and sister must be like him. That is expectation. That is the calling. When we have that calling and when we become like him, then it really pleases him. That's what our hope of calling is. We everyone must be like him. So when he comes back, right, he sees, Father sees in each believer Christ. Lakshman will not come, or other brother will not be shown there. Only Christ. Everyone will be like him. So the resurrection power, that makes us like that. That's why Paul, he prays from Philippians 3:10. He says, I just want to read that one. Everything I'm counting as rubbish. Everything in Telugu, it mentioned dung. Dung means nobody will dare to go to that place because everybody, they hate it. So he's all his business, all the properties, everything he's counting nothing, all his knowledge, all the ritual things, whatever he did, right? Counting it as nothing because he wanted to know that resurrection power. After 30 years, after he got saved on the way to Damascus, after the vision and after the enlightenment, right, he's saying 30 years, right, I want to know that resurrecting power and wanted to partake in the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. To understand that, yes, it is very true. Like when somebody will say, hey, really, are we sitting in the heavenly place? Yes, that is true. Because we have to believe certain things. I just want to give one more good example here about just a 12 years old boy and 6 years old boy. 12 years boy, he was just arguing with his brother, 6 years age old, saying that, hey, I'm seeing whatever I'm seeing and whatever I'm feeling, that only I believe. Like sun, it comes up in the east and it sunsets in the west. Since I'm seeing it also, I'm feeling it because the earth is stationary. That's why I'm believing that sun is moving, not earth. But the boy, 6 years old, age boy, tells, is arguing with his brother, saying that, hey, our dad, he says that not sun is moving, earth is moving. On the axis of earth, it is moving. That's why you are getting that feeling. But he was arguing that, no, I'm seeing and I'm feeling. That's why I'm believing. So he's saying that whatever dad says is final. That's it. So our Heavenly Father is our dad, and he is saying that, he is giving the assurance that we are all, that is a blessed assurance. We are all, he made us to sit in the heavenly places. We have to believe. When our dad, he deposits 10,000 millions of dollars in our account, right? We will not go to the bank and verify whether we have that amount or not. We blindly believe that because he is our dad and we have that hope. Same thing. He is our Heavenly Father, and when he says, I bless you spiritually, we have to believe it, and one day we will come to know all those blessings. May our good God give us that enlightenment to understand the power of resurrection. Just main 3 points here to understand the hope of calling and his inheritance and his resurrecting power. When we know that one, right, then we will pray for all the believers in Christ. The expectation is Ephesians 4:13. We all to grow in the unity of faith and to all grow in the knowledge of him. That is the expectation, and to be like him, and to be perfect like him. Definitely we'll be perfect when he comes back and when we see him in the cloud. We are going to see him face to face. That is our blessed hope, and we will be like him. May our good God help us to understand all these deeper truths and pray accordingly. Amen.